Let's go on and talk about developing a powerful sales personality. We know that personality is more important than product knowledge, it's more important than skills, it's more important than the product, that there are people who are selling well with a highly competitive product in a depressed market, there are people who are selling poorly by an exclusive product in a buoyant market, and we know that almost all of it has to do with personality. The characteristics of the psychological makeup of the superior salesman are about 8 or 9 qualities. Number one, they have high levels of self-confidence and self-esteem. Without self-confidence, it's impossible to be successful in selling. And let me tell you just one more thing about that, is that the more you like yourself, the more you like others. The more you like others, the more confidence they have in you. We always feel better about the recommendations of someone who we feel likes us than we do about the recommendations of somebody whom we're not sure about. We always choose to buy from people who we feel like us and care about us. And the more you like yourself and care about yourself, the more successful you'll be in your relationships with others. Number two is that the high-performing salesperson accepts 100% responsibility for their results. In a study done in New York some years ago, they found a very interesting thing. They found the top 3% in every sales field looked upon themselves as self-employed. I ask this question many times in courses. I say, is there anybody here who is self-employed? And I find some people put up their hands and some people don't. And then I stop and I say, the biggest mistake that we can ever make in our lives is to ever think that we work for anybody but ourselves, because we are always self-employed. We are personal services corporations, and we just simply sell our services to other people. If we have our own business, then of course we have even more control, but we are always self-employed. I am always astonished when people say, well, I won't take that training unless my company sends me to it. They don't realize that it is their company, that every single bit of training that they take, every book that they read, every single thing they learn is an investment in themselves that makes themselves more valuable. So always accept ourselves as self-employed and look upon every single thing that we accomplish or don't accomplish as our own responsibility. John T. Malloy, in his book Live for Success, said the two characteristics that determine the difference between winners and losers are simply these, is that winners always accept full responsibility for everything that happens to them. He says losers never do. He says losers always make excuses. I think it was somebody said that the disease of excusitis, the inflammation of the excuse-making gland, is invariably fatal to success. And you can tell the winners, because the winners are always looking for a way to deal with the challenges that they're facing, and the losers are always making excuses for it to avoid dealing with it. And the second requirement that Malloy identified was that winners work damn hard. He says winners always work far harder than losers. Losers intend to work hard, and they say that they work hard, and they even complain about how hard they work, but they don't really work very hard at all. When they follow them around, they find they work at about 30 to 40% effectiveness, if that. But winners get there early, they work late, they work through their lunch hours, they work through their coffee breaks, they work in the evenings, they study on the weekends, they take extra courses. Winners are absolutely determined to win, and they are willing to pay the price. Losers do not understand that, or if you like, never learn it. Number three, the top salesperson has above average ambition and desire to sell. We know that it is impossible, and this is the Harvard study, by the way. Ambition and desire seem to underlie all success in selling. They have the intense desire. They want to win. They want to be successful. They have a burning commitment to be successful, and they will not let anything put them off. The unsuccessful people say, well, if I can make enough to pay my bills, that'll be all right. If I can just earn enough to get through this month, if I can just get one sale, that'll be fine. A study done by another insurance company in the East not long ago, they found an interesting thing. They found that every year they had a contest in November. At that contest in November, the people who won got 2 weeks in the Caribbean as a bonus. And everybody who qualified, you could do just a certain quota that you had to get to. And the quota was about 35 to 40% above the average for the year. Every year in November, salespeople really, really went out and blew their brains out, and a tremendous number of them qualified for that 2 weeks in the sun. They went back and they studied, and they found a very interesting thing, that the average salesperson was selling 3 policies a week, and that in the contest period, they simply increased it to 4 policies a week. And they went back and they talked to many of these salespeople, and they pointed out that if they made just a little bit of extra effort, they could be in that prize-winning category all year long instead of just in November. And that this translated over a 40-year career. Say you started selling when you were 25 and you sold till you were 65. It translated, one extra sale a week translated into 10 extra years of income. 10 extra years of income by selling one more sale a week over the 3 that they were doing. absolutely staggering, isn't it? In other words, you would have an extra 10 years of income, but you would have it now rather than then, which is where we want it. So the ambition, the desire to sell is very important. Sometimes people come up to me and say, I have no ambition. I say to them, I'm very, very sorry, because there's no hope for you if you have no ambition. You don't have any ambition. There's nothing that anybody can do for you. I say some people have to be followers and some people have to be leaders, and I guess you were born to be a follower. But ambition is absolutely critical. Well, number four, high levels of empathy, and they really care about their customers. These two, ambition and empathy, are the two keys to sales success. By empathy, we mean that we care about our customers and we would never sell them something that we felt was not good for them. There are many salespeople who will sell under any terms or in any circumstances, but they never last. The truly successful salespeople are the ones who feel that they will be dealing with this customer 20 years from now, and every single thing they do with this customer today, they're going to have to live with for the rest of their sales careers. The others look upon every sales transaction as make it and get out. So high levels of empathy go hand in hand with high levels of ambition. Why? I'll tell you why. It's because customers are smarter today than they've ever been in the history of the world, and they can see through us like through saran wrap. If we are not seriously concerned about their well-being, they pick it up instantly. They don't have to think about it. They know immediately when the salesman is selling for himself or when the salesman is genuinely concerned about his or her best interests. That's why genuine levels of empathy as opposed to false levels of empathy are absolutely essential for success. The successful salesperson is intensely goal-oriented. We know that every single study done at every single university, the most successful men and women are very, very intensely goal-oriented. They know how much they're going to earn each week, each month, each quarter, each 6 months, and each year. They know how many calls that they have to make, and not only that, they know what they're going to do with the money. We're going to do a brief goal-setting exercise in just a second, but it's absolutely essential that you know exactly how much you intend to earn this year. If you don't know that, it's like trying to shoot at a target in the fog. Even if you were the finest marksman in the world, you're not going to hit a target in the fog. You've got to know exactly what you're aiming at. And number six, they have above average willpower and determination to succeed and to keep on keeping on in the face of disappointments. They're willing to work hard. They're willing to go the extra mile. They're willing to pay the price of success in advance. One of the things that we find is that a truly honest person realizes that there is no such thing as something for nothing. There's no easy way to be successful. There's only the hard ways. And we have a lot of stories in our society about people who stumbled into some career and made a lot of money quickly. And these stories pollute people's minds. The reason why we hear those stories is because they're so rare. The only way, and the longitudinal studies, a 20-year study out of New York recently indicated that most people make their maximum earnings sometimes after their 40th year. And that every single person who achieved long-term wealth and success in this study, and they followed over 1,500 people for 20 years, achieved it doing their job extremely well, working hard, going the extra mile, putting in the little bit of extra time and effort. Nobody ever made money quick. I think it's the worst myth that exists in our society is that there's a fast, easy way to make money. There isn't any. And chasing the will-o'-the-wisp of the quick buck is the surest way to destroy your character and to destroy your career. I've seen lots of people who made a lot of money during the booms. And where are they now? Where are they now? They're all gone. The ones who made a whole lot of money in a hurry, what they did is because their self-concept did not adjust to the level of income, they went through it. The great tragedy is that many of these people will spend the rest of their life trying to find another quick, easy way to make money. And they'll never realize that money doesn't come quickly and easily. It comes only with persistent, hard work continuously over an extended period of time. So there's no easy way to become successful. Another characteristic is the top of the psychological makeup of the salesperson. They believe in themselves. They believe in their product. They believe in their company. And they believe in the value of your product to your customer. This is so important. We know that you can never get your customer to believe in your product any more than you do. If you don't believe in it, your customer can't believe it. It's almost like you have to fill up your own cup of belief as high as the customer's cup of belief has to be filled before he'll purchase it. This is why it's so important that we sell something we believe in. Everybody here has had the experience of selling something they didn't particularly think was great. You'd have very much success selling it? No. If you cannot put your whole heart into what you're selling, you can never be successful. I have many people come up to me in courses and they say, you know, I don't really like this product, but I really want to be successful at selling it. I say that the one excludes the other. that you cannot possibly be successful unless you love it. The competition is too great out there. You cannot just even be lukewarm about your product. You have to believe that your product is absolutely excellent and that your customer can really, really benefit from using your product or service. If you don't believe that deep down in your heart, you'll very seldom have the conviction to be able to convey it. And you just look at the top salespeople. The top salespeople love what they're selling. They believe in it passionately. They'll defend it. They'll talk about it at night. They go to bed at night thinking about their product, and they wake up in the morning, and they can hardly wait to talk to people about it. Look at the top salespeople from the most professional companies, the IBMs, the Xerox, the Hewlett-Packards, and you'll find that these people are literally fanatical about their product. That's why they're so successful at selling so much of it. Another characteristic, psychological characteristic, is that the top-selling salesperson is always impeccably honest with himself and with other people. There is no substitute for a high level of honesty. We have to be perfectly honest with ourselves in terms of the amount of work we do and the type of rewards that we want to enjoy, and perfectly honest with our customers. They say that the average person today is built like a human lie detector. The average person today can pick up insincerity or falsehood across a crowded room. All of us can. The worst fool in the world is the one who tries to fool somebody else. And that's why we have to be very, very honest and never say or do anything with regard to our product that's not true. And finally, we come back to that original characteristic. The top salesperson has an easy ability to turn strangers into friends wherever he goes. Because when you genuinely like and accept yourself, you genuinely like and accept others. If you feel down on yourself, you won't like others. There is a one-to-one relationship, one of the most important relationships of all with self-esteem, is you can never like or love anybody else more than you like or love yourself. And you can never expect anybody else to like or love you more than you like or love yourself. How much you feel for yourself is the single most important determinant of the quality of all your relationships with other people, both personal and business-wise. All right, so how do we become this person? How do we fulfill this dynamic psychological profile of the successful salesperson? Number one is choosing the right product. Nothing is more important than choosing the right product or service. Second to that, of course, is choosing the right people to work with and to work for. It's absolutely critical. But choosing the right product or service, and I'd just like to say one point on this, which I learned 20 years ago, and I never forgot it, is that some people are capable of selling tangible products, and some people are capable of selling intangible products. Now, tangible products are products that you can touch and taste and feel and hold and demonstrate and try out. Intangible products are products that are basically ideas. For instance, real estate in many ways is an idea. Investments are an idea. Insurance is an idea. Educational products are ideas. If you are constructed so that you like things, that you like tangible products, you will never be successful selling intangible products. If you are constructed so that you like intangible products, you'll never be successful selling tangibles. And the best way to find out about this is ask yourself, are you interested in concrete things and facts, or does the world of ideas interest you? Do you have a philosophic bent in your mind? Are you interested in psychology and philosophy and metaphysics? If you're interested or your interest is drawn by those sort of thing, you're best selling intangibles. If you're interested in harder things, if you're interested in houses and cars and trips and clothes and material things, then you're best selling tangibles. If ever you get into a field where you're selling one and you're not feeling comfortable about it, they try to sell it and they just can't get their heart in it, no matter how hard they work. They know it's a good product, they know it's a good company, but they simply can't get into it. It's usually because you're selling out of your own category. Remember, we always sell consistent with our basic values. And some of us have tangible values and some of us have intangible values. Neither is good nor better than the other. It's just that we are different. The next thing is you must believe sincerely in your product. As we said earlier, you must love your product. You can never be successful if you don't believe in it absolutely, if you don't believe that it's a great product. And number three, as we referred to before, the transfer of enthusiasm. The more you believe in your product, the more excited you are about your product, the more enthusiastic you can become about it, the more easily it is for you to transfer that enthusiasm to the mind of your customer. So we talk about goal orientation. How do we become really, really intensely goal-oriented? How do we develop a strong, burning head of steam and desire that keeps us highly motivated from morning to night? And the only way to do that is to plan your working day and your working week very, very carefully so that you have very specific goals for every single month, every single week, every single day. I ask you to fill them out one at a time. What is your annual income goal for this year? How much have you decided to earn in 1985? What is your annual income goal? Does everybody got that figure? Does everybody know what it is? You should please write it in. Write in your annual income figure. Write in a realistic and challenging figure. But if you don't know how much you want to earn this year, how are you going to do it? It's absolutely essential. I guarantee you, every top salesperson in every field knows exactly what they're going to earn this year. You can ask them, they can tell you within a dollar what it's going to be. Every low-performing salesperson has no idea. They're going to wait till the end of the year and see what happened. Don't be afraid to write it down. Some people are afraid to write it down. They say, what if I don't make it? So what? It's still better to have a destination, to have a specific goal, than to have no idea at all. Second of all, ask yourself, how much are you going to have to sell? What will be your annual sales volume that will be required for you to earn that amount of money? What's the total product value you're going to have to sell? A third is, now what is your monthly income goal? How much do you have to earn each month in order to achieve the annual goal? So dividing it by 12. What is your monthly sales volume that's required in order to achieve that monthly goal? What is your weekly income goal? What's your weekly sales volume required? And then finally, what's your daily income goal? And what's your daily sales volume required? Once we've broken it down that fine, then we go to the final question. How many calls do you have to make each day in order to achieve your daily, weekly, monthly, annual goals? Now, when you are in sales, the most successful way to set sales goals is to define your goals in terms of the activities that you will have to engage in order to achieve that income level. The activities are always the number of calls, the number of follow-ups, the number of deliveries, the number of presentations. Define it in terms of activities and then begin where you are right now, first thing in the morning, and start doing everything a step at a time. So let's say that you have to make 9 calls per day in order to achieve, based on your experience, your sales volume for the day, the week, the month, and so on. Then make a game with yourself and commit yourself to making those 9 calls by noon. Just get out and do it. You're going to have to make 9 calls, then do it by noon. Get on the phone at 8 o'clock or 8:30, or get out, and if you're cold calling, get out and make those 9 calls by 12 o'clock. You can do it if you really force yourself. It may take you until 2 or 3 o'clock. But if you keep doing that and keep engaging in those activities every single day, then you must be successful. Now, some weeks you won't sell anything, and some weeks you'll sell 2 or 3 times as much as you would normally expect. At the end of the year, lo and behold, you'll be at your sales goals. In many cases, by the way, when you start setting goals for the year and start working toward them systematically, you'll hit them in 6 months. Some people have hit their goals in 3 months. They've been absolutely staggered. They've never set goals before, but they worked for years selling a particular product in a certain market. The first year they start setting goals and making plans and working day to day on their plan, suddenly they achieve their year's goals in 3 months. They cannot believe it. We don't know why it is, but we do know one thing, is that when you set a goal, you program it into the subconscious. Once you've programmed it into the subconscious takes on a power of its own and starts moving you rapidly toward this goal. There's a series of things that the subconscious mind does. Keeping your eyes alert for opportunities, bringing you the right ideas in the middle of a sales conversation, keeping you on the alert for different nuances that the person is saying. The subconscious is reading your prospect's face and giving you the feelings and ideas of what to say. Everybody's had the experience of being in a sales presentation where they simply couldn't say a wrong thing. Have you ever had that? The sales presentation was as smooth as cream. You said, geez, if it was like this all the time, I could make a fortune, right? What it was, if you'll notice, that you were perfectly programmed, you were completely at ease, you were completely prepared, you felt excellent about yourself, and your subconscious mind just gave you exactly the right words and gestures. You just seemed to say the right things at the right juncture. And later on, you found, coincidentally, that when you had mentioned fishing, it just so happened that the customer was more interested in fishing than anything else. Or you had mentioned service and follow-up, that was his primary concern, and that was exactly what he wanted to know. Have you ever had that experience? The subconscious will do that for you. It'll sort it out. You can use this extra 90% reserve potential stored in the subconscious if you just program it. And the way you program it is by programming in your goals and knowing very, very clearly how much you want to earn and what you have to do to achieve it. Set personal and family goals. The reasons why are the rewards for your efforts. Make a very clear list of all the things that you want to do as a result of being successful in selling. Now, we know that if you have 1 or 2 things that you want to accomplish as a result of reaching your monthly quota, you'll have a little motivation. If you have 10 or 15 things you want to accomplish, you'll be more motivated. If you've got 100 things you want to accomplish as a result of being successful in selling, you will become unstoppable. If we talk about closing sales, let me ask you this question. Who is going to be more difficult to put off? The person who has 1 or 2 reasons for closing the sale, or the person who has 100 reasons for closing the sale? The more reasons you give yourself, the more subconscious psychological strength you give yourself in a selling situation. If you write down, and most people that I know who are successful in selling keep a spiral notebook, and in that spiral notebook they write down every goal they want to accomplish, whether it's a car, a house, a trip, whether it's a home computer or new clothes or jewelry, or whether it's travel or savings account or investments or RSPs, every single time they think of something that they would like to own, or they see somebody with something they admire, they immediately say, that's for me. They put no limitations at all on their ability to accomplish anything, and they write it down as a goal. And I've seen people with 600, 700, 800, 900 goals that they want to accomplish, and they are so motivated, they are so impossible to deter, that they go on and they make $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, and $500,000 a year in fields, competitive fields, where the average person is making less than $10,000. Visualization. With regard to programming the subconscious mind, there is no more powerful way than to create a clear mental picture of the person that you want to be and of the goals that you want to accomplish. The power of visualization, I think, is the most single, most awesome power that we as human beings have. And by visualization, I mean you must see yourself as successful, see yourself as confident, see yourself as competent, see yourself as a good closer, see yourself as relaxed in every sales situation, see yourself enjoying the rewards of success in selling, see your prospects responding to you positively and enthusiastically when you're talking to them. Program this into the subconscious. The subconscious is activated by pictures and by strong affirmative statements. I like myself and I am a great salesman. I was talking to the president of a manufacturing firm in Wisconsin just last year, and he was talking about a salesman had joined the company, and the salesman, they were not sure whether or not he was going to do very well, but within 6 months, he was the top salesman for the company in the whole country. And they asked him, how is it you went in less than 6 months in this field, you never sold in this industry before, and you became the top against people who've been in it for 10 or 15 years with established clientele and everything? He said, I describe it to just one thing that I do every day. He said, when I get in my car, I drive along on my way to my first call, and I just say over and over, I'm the best. I'm the best. I'm the best salesman in this company. I'm the best salesman in this industry. I'm the best. And he just keeps saying that over and over again in this country, in this company, in this industry. And he says, and before I go into every sales call, I sit out there in the car. I say, I'm the best. I am the best. I am the very, very best. I am the best in this business. I am an outstanding salesperson. And then he says he gets a clear mental picture of himself, relaxed and confident and calm and self-assured and cool. And he sees the prospect responding to him positively, confidently. He gets that mental picture. And when he goes in, he just exudes confidence. He's just relaxed. And he went from zero to the top in the country in 6 months. I only mention this as a story because it's true. But the other thing is that all top salespeople do it, and all poor salespeople do not. Poor salespeople primarily, you know how they sell? They walk into the prospect's place of business, and they say whatever falls out of their mouth. They don't think about it in the car. In the car, they listen to that music that's pounding in their ears, and when they get there, they walk into the place, and the first thing they say is the first thing that falls out of their mouth. And when they get an opportunity to see a prospect again, they say the first thing that falls out of their mouth. 95% of salespeople wing it. Now, let me ask you a question. If you wanted to compete in a sports event, competition level, would you ever think of going into that sports event without warming up? Would you just think of getting out of your car and going straight into competition? Not in 1,000 years, would you? When we go into selling in a highly competitive industry, we need to go through mental warm-up too. We need to prepare ourselves. We need to rev ourselves up psychologically. We need to say, I like myself. I like myself. I'm good. I'm the best. I'm a great salesman. I'm going to have a great day today. This is going to be a great call. It's going to be a great presentation. And we need to see ourselves as successful. We need to just be so excited. So when we go in there, what happens is we just have a totally different attitude about us. And remember, how we feel about ourselves comes off us in electromagnetic waves and affects everybody around us. It affects them in either a negative or a positive way. If we feel great about ourselves, you'll find people just brighten up and smile when you walk in. And if you feel negative or unsure about yourself when you walk in, people go, oh, geez. You've all had this experience, haven't you? When you feel great about yourself, things seem to go smoothly. And when you feel poor about yourself, you seem to have more and more problems. So it's very, very important that we prepare ourselves psychologically. And visualization is the very best way to do it. See yourself as the best in your field. See yourself as the very best in your industry. See yourself as a top money earner. See yourself in the top 5% in sales. Whenever you see somebody who's really making a lot of money, you say, I'm going to be like that, and I'm going to be better. I'm going to do even higher. You see a person driving a brand new Mercedes, you look at that, and you say, that's for me. That's where I'm going. That's the direction I'm going in. You keep thinking that, and by some remarkable gravitational power, it starts to act as a directional force, and you start going in the direction of your predominant thoughts. Well, number seven is confidently expect to succeed every minute of every day. Nothing more powerful than an attitude of confident expectation. We know that the very best salespeople confidently expect to be successful. They have this attitude of confident expectation. They're unshakable. Anybody who's ever been sold by a really professional salesperson, you notice that they're very low-keyed, they're very calm, they're very relaxed, and they have absolute confidence. And the more confident they are, the more uneasy we become. You ever had this experience where we go in to buy something and the salesman comes up, is very friendly, they're always very polite, they're very low-keyed, they're very interested in what it is that we need or require. They ask a lot of questions. And at a certain point in the sales conversation, after you've given all the usual things that other people give you, well, I can't really afford it, I'm just looking around today, and I'm not really in the market, and I'd have to check this with somebody else. And you give all these different things, and the person says, yes, yes, I understand. It just goes on talking. And at a certain point, you get that sinking feeling that you're in trouble. Oh, geez. And now you know when you're really in trouble when you start thinking, how cheap can I get out of this? How little can I spend and still get out of this? And when you've made the purchase, you go away feeling great. You ever notice that? You don't go away with buyer's remorse wondering, oh, geez, I hope I haven't made a mistake. When you've bought something from a professional, when you've been sold by a professional, you feel great about the purchase. You feel happy about it. You feel that you've bought something from someone who cares about you, someone who's friendly to you. As a matter of fact, you look forward to seeing that person again, don't you? You look forward to buying from them again. Isn't that true? This is the whole essence of professional selling, and it all starts with what's going on inside. Once we have everything going on inside right, everything else outside will be just fine. Finally, number eight, read for 30 minutes a day. This is the most important recommendation I can give you. This alone will triple your income over the next 12 months. It'll at least double it over the next six. If you don't believe me, try reading. Now, if you are going to make a profession of selling, then you owe it to yourself to have a library of the very best books that have ever been written on selling, and to have a library of the very best tapes that have ever been made on selling. If you don't have a library of books on selling, then you're really not serious about being successful in this field. Imagine if you went to a doctor and the doctor didn't have any medical books and never read anything. How confident would you feel in the doctor? Oh, I never read anything. I finished medical school 20 years ago, and I've just been winging it ever since. And they go, oh, geez, you'd flee. He went to a lawyer, and the lawyer didn't have any law books. Oh, I don't have to look it up, he said. I just figured it out. I'll just chat with somebody, see what comes to mind. You think, well, maybe I'd just as soon go to somebody who obviously was interested enough in their profession to do the research. If you will read for 20 to 30 minutes every morning before you start off, and read in your profession, and this is a profession, within 6 or 12 months, you'll have read 10 to 20 of the very best sales books that have ever been written in the world, which are the ones that are on the bookstands today. If you will do that in 12 months, you will see such a gross increase in your income that it will stagger you. You will not be able to believe it. I've had so many people come back to me and say, you know, that one recommendation was worth the entire price of the course because I've done it and I got up every day. One fellow, nice guy, average guy, had never been successful in selling, got out and he started reading 30 minutes a day. His income within 3 months had doubled. He said, geez, if I could double my income within 3 months just by reading every morning, what would happen if reading half an hour? What would happen if I read an hour? So he started reading an hour. His income doubled again in the next 3 months. And now he gets up at 5:30 in the morning. He spends 2 hours reading. He's the sales manager of his business. He's making four times today what he's making a year and a half ago. He's making more money now than he's ever made in his life in a depressed market in a competitive industry. He said, Brian, just the reading. He said, if you're reading every day, your mind is alert. Your mind is sharp. You're always picking up new ideas. You're always picking up new ways to help sell your product. He's now giving classes and instructing other people on how to sell. Yet most people in selling never read at all in their field. Do you know that 90% of all the sales books that are sold to less than 10% of the salespeople? Most salespeople don't have any books at all. I have a friend who's a sales manager right here in this city, and he has one question which he asks when he's interviewing people for a sales position with his company. It's very simply this. He said, please tell me some of the titles of the books in your self-development library. And if the person goes, huh? He says, thank you very much, and he shakes their hand and shows them to the door. He said he knows that people who are not working on their own self-development on a regular basis will never be successful in a competitive sales industry. He just knows from 20 years of experience that they'll try and they'll do the best they can, but it's like an athlete who has no physical condition, who's trying to compete. An athlete who's fat, overweight, smoking, eating too much, and trying to compete. No matter how much his heart is in it or her heart is in it, they're not going to be successful. And the reading is the way we train our minds to be successful in our field. Number 9, listen to tapes. Turn your car into a university on wheels. I cannot overemphasize this more. This is the most important single thing. Listen to tapes all the time. Never listen to your car radio. Never go anywhere with your car radio on. We find that you can learn more listening to tapes on a day-to-day basis. You can literally get a university education on wheels. And if you're continually feeding your mind with sales, motivation, inspiration, education, time management, personal growth, personal development, if you're continually feeding your mind with that, you are going to go ahead faster in your career than anybody else. The best salespeople that I know, and I know over 2,000-3,000 salespeople that I've given this course to, the best salespeople that I talk to, not one of them ever has their car radio on. They have their tapes playing from the time they get in. The average person that I know carries about 50 tapes in their cars. Some people have 60 and 70 individual tapes, and they're always listening to them. They're listening to them between calls. They're listening to them on the way to work. They're listening to them on holidays. They're always listening to tapes. If you're listening to radio, and I like to call radio chewing gum for the ears, which is basically what it is. If you're listening to radio, you're just simply not serious about being successful in selling. Because what is going to come out of you as a salesperson is what goes into your mind. If high-powered, professional, sophisticated material is going into your mind when you're driving, that's what's going to come out of you when you're making your calls. And number 10, these two questions are absolutely superb. For rapid self-development, ask yourself after every call, what did I do right? And then after you've analyzed the good parts of your sales call, whether it was successful or not, ask yourself, what would I do differently? And review and think about how you would handle it differently next time. Whether or not it was successful, and even if it was successful especially, say, what would I do differently? We know from our work in behavioral psychology that whatever we think about and review, we have a tendency to repeat. If we think about and review our mistakes, we have a tendency to repeat our mistakes. If we think about and review what we did right and then think about how we would do it better or differently in the future, then that is what we'll do automatically when we go into the next sales situation. Let me give you a distinction between winners and losers in the selling profession. It's a very subtle one. Is that losers are always thinking about and talking about and vividly replaying in their imagination their previous failures. The sales calls that didn't work out, the rejections, the sales deals that fell through. Winners are constantly thinking about, talking about, and reviewing in their imagination their successes, the ones that did work out. And that's why unsuccessful people tend to become more unsuccessful because they're taping this record under their subconscious programs and replaying it. Successful people tend to become more successful because they're thinking all the time about their successes. This is critically important. And we talk about this a little bit later, but that's why it's so important to not get around people who are down on themselves, who are complaining or griping about their industry, because these people will drag you down like a sea anchor. Always associate with people who are positive and upbeat and confident and optimistic about what's going on with their business and with their industry, because it makes an enormous difference in how you feel. And finally, resolve to pay the price to succeed. Resolve to pay the price. I remember Hunt, the great oil billionaire, who started off at the age of 32 as a bankrupt cotton farmer in Arkansas, and by the time he died, he was worth almost $6 billion, and he made it all by himself. He was asked on a television program in the later years of his life, "Mr. Hunt, what advice can you give to other men and women who want to be successful?" And he said, in his whole lifetime, he's only found that there's two requirements for success, and anybody who practices them can be successful. He said, but most people never do. He said, requirement number one is you must decide exactly what you want in life. You must decide exactly what it is you want to do, have, or be. He said, most people never make that decision. They have only vague general ideas of what they want to accomplish. He said, the second thing is you must determine the price you're going to have to pay in order to get what you want, and then resolve to pay that price. He said, those are the two. He said, if anybody ever gets to the point where they know exactly what they want, they never get to the second point of realizing that for everything that we want in life, there's a price. And if we really want to enjoy it, we're going to have to determine to pay the price in advance. Success only comes after you've paid the price, never before. The basic law of all of human destiny is the law of sowing and reaping, which says that you reap exactly what you sow, but you must sow first. Anybody who's ever started a new sales career, as I have many times, has found that the bulk of the business you do in the second 3 months comes from the contacts you made in the first 30 days. Have you noticed that? And that it's really astonishing that that happens to be the case. But if you don't make those contacts in the first 30 days, then you don't reap the harvest of the business that you do in the next 3 months, in the next 3 months, in the next 3 months. So remember, the law of sowing and reaping, paying the price, is absolutely essential. And if you will simply take control of paying the price, which means seeing the people, talking to people, giving professional presentations, starting early and working late, then your success will take care of itself, just like the seed will grow in the soil and give you the harvest.